Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Has anyone got a favorite hymn you'd like to sing? Just shout out the number, please. 593 in your hymn book. 593 in your hymn book. 593. There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign, infinite day excludes the night, and pleasures banish pain. We are feeding on the living bread. We're drinking at the fountainhead. Whoso drink of Jesus said shall never thirst again. We'll stand as we sing. We'll make this our opening hymn. Hymn number 593. Great hymn of encouragement to the people of God, reminding us of heaven and glory, the great prize for the believer. 593. We'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
blessing and presence in our prayer meeting tonight. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we gather before Thee this night in the Saviour's great and wonderful name, that name that is higher than every other name. Lord, Thou hast said in Thy word that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we thank Thee that we can truly say tonight that Christ is indeed Lord, that He is our Lord, He is our Alpha and our Omega, the offer and the finisher of our faith, our all in all, the One who has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And Father, we thank Thee for One who has loved us with an everlasting love, One who went to the cruel cross of Calvary for our sins, the One who bare our sins in His own body to the tree and died for our sins, died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we rejoice tonight as Thy people in the knowledge of our sins forgiven. And we thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we can rejoice tonight that Thy word declares that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank that our names are written down indelibly and eternally in the Lamb's book of life, never to be erased, never to be removed. And we thank Thee, Father, that this is all because of Thy grace and mercy that has been revealed to us in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ and through the merits of His atoning death and His shed blood and His perfect righteousness for us as the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee, Father, for the words even of this hymn of which we've been singing tonight, that we can look forward to heaven, to glory, and to Emmanuel's land. Father, we thank that there we will sin no more. We thank that there we will grieve no more. We thank that there that we shall be in the presence of Christ forevermore. Father, we thank that we shall be made perfect like Christ. And Father, we thank Thee that there we shall rejoice forevermore in that place of eternal light and joy and gladness. And Father, we thank that this is our hope as the people of God. And help us day by day, O God, we pray, never to lose sight of that great hope and that great inheritance that Thou hast wrought for us. And Father, we just look to Thee tonight to bless our coming together from this opening hymn to the last amen. We pray for a gracious sense of Thy presence, of Thy nearness. Father, we pray that Thou would be with us tonight, that Thou would be one of our number. And Father, bless our hearts around Thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Lord, strengthen us in our faith through Thy word, Lord, and help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. And Lord, bless us around the throne of grace and prayer. We thank Thee for this great access that we have to the very throne of heaven itself by that new and that living way that Christ has opened up for us at the cross. We thank Thee for all who have been able to gather tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee, O God. Remember every family and household, O God, that is represented, we pray. Bless every believer, every child of Thine. Draw every believer closer, Lord, to Thee. Strengthen us in the ways of God. And Lord, help us to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. For any, Lord, with us tonight, Lord, that cannot gather with us, Lord, just bless them and minister to them by the grace and power of God. Those who are sick and ill and laid aside and beds of sickness, those in hospital, residential care, Lord, bless them also and minister to their needs by the mighty power of God. Remember every family and household in connection with our church and congregation. Do unite every family circle in the Lord. Meet the need of every home and family, we pray. And Father, we pray that in our homes we will know much of the blessing of the Lord, that blessing that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. Father, we do pray for the work amongst the boys and girls. Remember them off at this time of midterm. Keep Your hand upon them. Bless our sister Gillian as well. Strengthen her and encourage her at this time, we ask of Thee. Lord, meet every need in all these meetings week by week, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy presence and blessing last Lord's Day and all that thou didst gather in under the sound of thy word, and especially those that were in unsaved out of Christ, O God, we pray, be pleased to speak on to their hearts and to save them by the power of God. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember all our sister congregations. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, we pray for thy blessing to be upon it, upon the going forth of thy word, O God. We pray that in these days in which we live, that thou wilt build thy church, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And do remember the forthcoming mission, especially in Lisbalaw. Prepare us for it, we pray, and bless in those meetings. Remember Brother Colin and Noel as well as they commence that mission next week in Corrigarry. May your hand of blessing be upon them there as well. And we pray that in all these efforts we ask that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt revive, and that thou wilt save by the mighty power of God. Do us good now, we pray. Cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us and bless us as we continue on before thee this night around thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the New Testament book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We're turning to the final chapter of that book, Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 44 of the chapter down to the end. While you're looking it up, we welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's name. It's good to see all who've been able to gather this evening. Pray God will bless you around God's word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Remember, please, the services of the weekend and your prayers, Friday night, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship, and then the Lord's Day morning, Sunday school Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7 p.m., both services preceded the half of prayer. Do remember, it's the visit of the students this coming Lord's Day from the Whitfield College of the Bible. Be much in prayer for them as they come to preach and to testify and to take the meetings morning and evening, that they'll know God's blessing upon them and make them a blessing, and pray for these meetings. Make them known and do all you can to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. We'll be over in Kaskiri taking the meetings there. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning a reading, please, at the verse number 44. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 53. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The verse I want us just to look at tonight briefly before we get down to prayer is verse number 49 there of Luke chapter 24. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In this passage of Scripture, Christ is conversing with his disciples shortly before his ascension up into heaven. And in his course of his conversation with them, we see that he is the one that enables them to understand the word of God. Look at verse 45 of the chapter. It says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He also tells them how his own death and resurrection was something that was planned by God. Look at verse 46. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ. In other words, this was all planned of God for Christ. It behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Also in conversation with the disciples, he exhorts them to preach the gospel and to be a witness for him. And you see that particularly there in verse 47, verse 48 of the chapter, where it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And then in verse 49, our text for this evening, he encourages his disciples to seek after the power and the infilling of God the Holy Spirit for their lives as Christians. And he says in verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And my, just as it was important for the early church and the disciples to know the power and the infilling of God the Holy Spirit, so it is equally important for all God's people to seek the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives as Christians. And we can say tonight that the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God is God's will for all his people, God's will for his church. In the book of the Hebrews, it speaks here of God's people serving God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And if you and I, yes, as believers, are to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, then we need the infilling and the empowering of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is vital for our personal witness. This is vital for every area and avenue of Christian service that we may be involved in. And it is also vital, dear people, as we prepare as a congregation for the forthcoming mission in a few weeks' time. That being the case, I want us then just to look at this text tonight very briefly and notice four things regarding the believer's need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice first of all here the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice what the Lord says here to his disciples in verse 49. He says, tarry ye till ye be endued with power from on high. And here he commands his disciples to seek the power of the Holy Spirit for their lives. That the seeking of this power was not an optional extra for them. No, rather it was his command to them as his disciples. And people, that command is something that applies to every member of the church of Christ. We who are saved are to seek after the endowment of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And whether we are saved recently or saved a long time, whatever aspect of God's work that we are involved in, God wants our lives to be filled with the power of God the Holy Spirit. Indeed, it was A.W. Tozer who said that the Holy Spirit is God's imperative for life. The command to be filled with the Spirit. Notice secondly here, notice the promise of the Holy Spirit. Notice what the Lord says here at the very beginning of verse 49 to the disciples. He says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And the promise that Christ speaks of here to his disciples, it refers to God the Father's promise to send the Holy Spirit upon his people and upon his church. And if we turn back to the Old Testament book of Joel, Joel chapter number 2 and the verse number 28, there we read of this particular promise given many, many years even before this in the Old Testament time during the prophecy of Joel, one of the minor prophets, Joel chapter 2 and the verse number 28. Look at the promise. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward, here God is speaking through his servant, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And that was the promise of the Lord to his people in the Old Testament time of Joel. And this is the same promise that Christ is referring to here in our text tonight when he speaks to his disciples and says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." In our text there, Christ says, "Behold, I send." And here we see the certainty of the Father's promise to send the Holy Spirit. And we see this promise coming to pass, dear people, at Pentecost. Turn over a little bit to the book of the Acts in the New Testament, Acts chapter number 2, just on past the Gospel of John, over to Acts chapter 2. And look with me, please, at verse 1 and verse 4 of the chapter. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And then look at the beginning of verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, this promise was not just for the early church, but rather it is a promise for all of God's people right to the end of time itself. Go on down there to Acts chapter 2 and go on down the chapter to verse 38 and verse 39 of the chapter. Look at what we read there. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And that shows us that this promise of God pouring out His Spirit is for all the church. It says it's for as many as the Lord our God shall call. And that speaks of all those whom God calls to Himself in salvation. And in the early church, yes, there have been many times when God has poured out His Spirit. In church history also, there have been similar times. Think of the great Protestant Reformation. Think of the great evangelical awakening in the days of George Whitefield and the Wesley brothers and others who labored with them. Think of the great awakening here in this province in 1859 that really came with great power and blessing upon the province of Ulster and upon the Irish Presbyterian Church at that particular time. Think also of the land of Wales in 1904. Think of the Outer Hebrides islands of Lewis and other islands in the vicinity there in the late 1940s and the early 1950s when God came down and poured out His Spirit. And think also, dear people, of our own province here, especially in the 1960s and in the 1970s. It was a time of great blessing when God poured out His Spirit upon His church in a mighty way. Child of God, this promise, yes, of the power of the Holy Spirit, it still stands for today. And brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, we are to look in faith to the Lord for its fulfillment in our own personal life and in whatever aspect of the work of God that we may be involved in our service for Christ as Christians. The Lord says in our text here tonight, He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Christian, tonight, take this as personal, as a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord to your heart, a word from the Lord to my heart tonight as His people. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Notice something else tonight. Notice the necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look again at verse number 48. Look at what it says. It says, "And ye are witnesses of these things." And dear people, if we are to be faithful witnesses for Christ, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Turn over there to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and look at the verse number 8 there of the chapter. This is one of the last things again that is recorded regarding Christ and what He said to His church, His people. He says, "But ye shall receive power
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." When they were filled with the Spirit, he says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And for us to witness for the Lord in this world, day by day, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Also, dear people of God, it is only through the Holy Spirit's power in our life that you and I can be more and more like Christ and can be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Turning your Bible over to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. And look at what we read there in verse number 22 and verse number 23 of that chapter. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And all those characteristics that are mentioned, that they were perfectly displayed in Christ. And if we are to be like Christ and to be conformed to Christ's image here on earth more and more, how we need the power of the Spirit. It says there, the fruit of the Spirit, those things that are mentioned there, is the outworking of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the Christian. And then also, dear people, do we not need the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission? Look again at verse 47 there of Luke chapter 24. Christ says to his church, to his people, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Notice it, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice that little phrase there, among all nations. And my, if we are to see people saved through our ministry of the gospel, be they children, be they adults, if we're to see God's kingdom extended, not just here, but further afield, how we need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, upon us and upon his church in this day and generation in which we live. Turn over there again to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And just go down to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse 41 and then the end of verse 47. It says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls." This was Jewish people receiving the gospel, being saved. It says 3,000. The same people who earlier cried out for the blood of Christ and the death of Christ, who rejected Christ, Jerusalem sinners, hardened sinners against the gospel, but now their hearts are softened and touched by the Lord. There is repentance, there's faith in Christ. At the end of verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And this wasn't through human, as it were, ability or any inventions of men. How did this all come about? I believe the answer there is given again in the beginning of verse 4 of that same chapter. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2 speaks of Peter preaching Pentecost. He who earlier denied his Savior, he who earlier cursed his Savior, who was afraid to own his Savior, yet the Lord restored Peter. The Lord poured out his Spirit upon Peter. And the Lord mightily and powerfully used him as a witness for himself to see many saved and converted to Christ. The hymn writer says, "Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and thy name glorified." And dear people, that's the need of the hour as we go into this mission, that we would know God's power, God's help, that old time Pentecostal power that comes from the Lord. Also, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God that we might have wisdom in all our ways as Christians and all our service for the Lord. Turn back to the Old Testament book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 31. And the infilling of the Spirit of God was just not for the New Testament church, it was also for the Old Testament church, and here we have proof of that.
Exodus chapter 31. And look at what we read there, the opening verses of this chapter, about a man by the name of Bezalel, who is used in making things for the tabernacle of worship. And we see that through the Spirit of God, he had great wisdom. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And look at what he says. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God." And what was the result? In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship. And where did Bezalel get his wisdom from? It wasn't from himself or of man, no. It was through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in his heart and in his soul. How vital then we be filled with the Spirit of God, that we might walk wisely and circumspectly in this world as God's people. One final thought, just in connection with our text tonight here in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49, the reception of God the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are to obey the Lord. It says there in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, Peter speaking on behalf of the disciples, and this is what he says, "And we are his witnesses of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." How vital it is that we obey the Lord, obey his word, obey his will for our lives day by day as Christians, that we might know the power and the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. Also, it's vital, dear people, that we pray, that we ask the Lord, that we seek the Lord as his own believing people, that he might fill our hearts and lives with the power of his Spirit day by day. I turn back there to Luke chapter 11, just a few chapters back from our Bible reading tonight. Luke chapter number 11. The opening verses of that chapter is all about prayer, things that the Christian is to pray for, things that the Church of Christ is to pray for, those who are saved, those who are in the work of God. Look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 11. It says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And there the Lord was speaking of his own redeemed people in that verse, not speaking of the unsaved, the unregenerate, no. Speaking of the believer, the child of God. And this is what the Lord was instructing his disciples to do in verse 49 of our text, when he says, Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, remain where you are, he says, until ye be endued with power from on high." They were to seek him and pray. That was the command, and they obeyed that command. Turn again over to Acts chapter 1, and you'll see how they obeyed the Lord in this matter. Look at verse number 14 of Acts chapter 1. It says, "Of the early church, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." They were waiting in obedience to the Lord, seeking the Lord in prayer with one accord. The disciples, not just the disciples, but the early church, and the women were there too in the place of prayer, praying, seeking the Lord, calling upon his name. And what was the outcome? Chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And verse 4 says, "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Brethren and sisters in Christ tonight, as we wait before the Lord in prayer, let us pray. Let us ask the Lord. Let us seek the Lord, that at this time he might draw near in a mighty way, pour out his Spirit upon us as we enter into this mission, that we might know God's power, that power that comes from on high, coming upon the preaching of God's word, coming upon the services, and that souls would be saved, saints would be blessed, and the name of the Lord would be honored and glorified. If you go to the little village of Ahahal, outside the town of Ballymena, and there's an old Presbyterian church there in the center of the village where God moved in a mighty and a powerful way
during the 1859 revival. And so many people crowded to those meetings that they had to stand outside and have meetings outside. It's a big church. It's a doctor's surgery today. But there's a gallery upstairs and there's a bow in the gallery. Well, there were so many people crammed into the gallery to hear the word of God. This was not man's doing. This was God's doing. And people, has the Lord changed? He has not. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Let us pray that in these days in which we live, we too might know a little foretaste of heaven upon earth, when God will come down and pour out his Spirit in a mighty and in a powerful way. We'll turn again to our hymn book just before we get down to prayer, to hymn number 172 in your hymn book, 172. Lord, as of old at Pentecost, thou didst thy power display with cleansing, purifying flame, descend on us today. Make that our prayer tonight, dear people, as we come to pray that God would descend upon us in these days in Pentecostal power. 172, will stand as we sing.
Thank you.
students as they come. Sunday school and Bible class, be much in prayer for these. It'll be a time of blessing, even as the students come to minister God's word. Remember the children's work as well, all the various meetings off this week, but do remember them in your prayers as they continue on in the will of the Lord. Remember, please, the mission. Let us bring that before the Lord tonight. Pray for the town of Lisbelaw, Maguire's Bridge, the village of Tamlet, and the surrounding townlands, that God would move in hearts and lives and homes and draw people in under the sound of God's word. And do remember also, please, our missionaries at home and abroad. Do remember Colin and Noel commencing the mission in Corrigarry next week. A week's gospel meetings, be much in prayer for that as well. And maybe you could remember the Lord's servants in Spain as well. And do please remember the sick in your prayers. Our sister Mrs. Cuthbertson's in hospital. Do remember her in your prayers. Prayer has also been requested for Mrs. Lydia Moore. Lydia is a teacher in the Ballymoney Christian School. Been diagnosed with cancer and commencing treatment. She's really the daughter of her brother, Mr. Mervyn Story, an elder in the church there. So be much in prayer for her. Married with a young family. And there's a request there as well for a need for a teacher to replace her when she's off in treatment. So do remember that very especially. Do pray for Norma and Martha as well. Chartis lost an aunt who passed away just last night, early this morning, down in Auchnacloy. And remember that family as well in your prayers at this time. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to take part right through to 9:15, one after the other, as the Lord would lead men and women, young and old alike, as we wait before the Lord in prayer. We'll ask our brother Colin Maxwell to lead us off in prayer, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead in the time that's left. Thank you.